Straight up evil.
Leave the dog alone because the dog didn't do a damn thing, and now you're trying to feed him your bodily
Thou
fluid.
Shall kill all of your
fans. Had a dog fish a tampon out of the garbage. It ain't right
to Bible pages. But you can pretend like you will. A dog.
Wow.
90.
Get off the ice. Watch out for the ice.
Don't hang out all the careful people. Watch out.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Straight Up Evil. My name is Jocelyn. I'm the brunette. We've got Katie. She's the redhead.
Hello.
And we have Carly. She's the blonde.
Hey.
Gwynnies. It is finally time.
I'm so excited.
It is finally time to talk about Tanya Harding and Nancy Kerrigan, Gwynnies.
Gwynnies, the best part, nobody fucking dies, dude.
I know.
No.
It is such a prime example of straight up evil, but no one dies.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like the best of both of our worlds. It's like the best of our both worlds, Queenies. Yeah,
we get our 90s nostalgia. Oh. We get to go through all of the things and no one ends up dead. Just
and Nancy Kerrigan doesn't end up murdered.
Yeah, she doesn't end up murdered.
She gets a bum deal.
She does get a bum deal. She does.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a lot of opinions. I know there's a lot of opinions.
I am very excited to hear your Quinny's opinions on this because.
Oh, I got
I got some.
I've got some.
And I think we might be surprising each other, I think. But the thing is, are we going to even get into it this episode?
Right.
We're not even going to get to the attack this episode.
No, we do.
We're just starting to get into it. Yeah. So Carly's exactly right. We're going to take you through all the way up through the attack and just a tiny bit of afterward. And then next week, we will deal with all the media circus that came from it, the Olympics that come after it, everything that happened, and why. You know, we're still totally obsessed with this story. So Quinnies, all right. This is our two-part series on Tanya Harding and Nancy Kerrigan. If you are an 80s baby like us Quinnies, you of course remember the scandal surrounding the 1994 US Winter Olympics when Nancy Kerrigan, arguably one of the greatest figure skaters of all time, was brutally attacked after finishing practice at the Tony Kent Arena by an unknown assailant. Then within the span of a few weeks, suspicion fell on Tanya Harding, another remarkable figure skater in her own right, and Nancy's own teammate in 1992 Olympic Games.
Yeah.
The next two episodes, we're going to talk about the whole saga, what really went down in 1994, who we believe, and ultimately why we all still love figure skating.
It's the best.
To this day. If the Winter Olympics are on and the figure skating is on, I'm watching it.
Speed skating as well. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Got to.
Absolutely.
Love it.
I'll be looking for that triple axel every day. Okay.
Every single time. So before we get into this, Quinnies, we got to talk a little bit about U.S. figure skating and culture. Okay. Because this is a very uniquely American story that we're going to talk about. So
America.
So the U.S. Figure Skating Association, this is the governing body for professional figure skating in the United States. Women's figure skating specifically is relevant to our show. And just to give you an idea of how old school this organization is, they just agreed to stop calling it ladies figure skating in 2022. Just agreed to take ladies out of it.
Honestly, this whole story really opened my eyes to the backwards fucking culture of figure skating. It's
bad.
I did not realize.
There's a lot of things within U.S. figure skating that are accepted just as the norm that are just like not normal.
Also not even just the figure skating world, but also like a lot of big companies and corporations are corrupt too.
Also, pedophiles and gymnastics. Also,
seriously,
in light of like the U.S. gymnastics scandal too.
Yeah,
it's just like there's a lot of shit that's been going on for a long time that no one was talking about, and thankfully people are actually coming forward now and being like I would love to do a whole episode on Bella Caroli, whatever the hell. He was up to.
We have to. Holy
shit. We know Larry Nassar, There are people out there who are true monsters in these sports. Mm-hmm. And U.S. figure skating specifically is notorious for commenting on how women figure skaters should perform, act, and present themselves on and off the ice. So to begin with, figure skating was reserved for just men and specifically segregated to not allow Black people to participate from its inception. The sport is very much the same today. Most professional skaters are white, extremely well-off financially, and they are trained by other white, well-off former skaters themselves. So this is a really small, very insular community for the most part. They just started to allow female skaters to wear pants in 2021. 2021.
Oh my God.
So they had to wear those little mini skirt outfit things, leotard things.
They were not allowed to wear pants of any kind until less than 2 years ago.
And the length of the skirt had to be super short as well.
Yes.
Right.
So there are several reasons why figure skating is the way that it is, or is the way that it was in the 90s. First of all, skating is extremely expensive. So you have to pay for time on the ice. You have to pay for a coach. You have to pay for competition outfits. In the 90s, we're talking about, I don't know, $5,000 a piece, like per leotard. And you can't wear the same outfit over and over again. And as we said, the judges are already commenting on the way that you're dressed, not just the way that you're skating. Huge amounts of money are going into this. So this is why the sport has largely been reserved for wealthy white people. Yeah. And if you can even get in the door as a female figure skater, the judges, again, are not just judging your performance. They're looking at your hair, your nails, the music that you choose, the way that you're bearing, the way that you present yourself, your outfits, your overall demeanor, the way that you speak, the way that you smile, the way that you interact with the crowd.
Your artistry.
Yeah. And the judges are mostly looking favorably on pale-skinned, very demure, conventionally pretty women. Let's just call them girls too, by the way. I like women better than ladies, but these are also like, you see the footage of Michelle Kwan in the 90s and you're like, she's like what, 16? You know what I mean? They're little. They like them to wear muted colors, play soft and agreeable music, like just very, it's really not about talent. At the end of the day, it's really not. As we will see, this is basically the definition of Nancy Kerrigan and an anti-definition of Tonya Harding. Keep this in mind as we move forward, women's figure skating, just as much of a beauty pageant as it is an incredibly difficult athletic sport. So I think it's Katie who is going to get us into Tonya Harding's colorful childhood leading up to the mid-1980s.
Tonya's full name was Tonya Maxine. Her name now is Price, but obviously her maiden name is Harding. She was born on November 12th of 1970. She's a Scorpio. She was born a couple days after me, which is kind of crazy. Mm-hmm. Obviously not the same year, but I was born many years later, Quinny. But she's a Scorpio. It really explains a lot of her personality. And
Nancy's a Libra. So there it is.
I have to be really, really honest that I have a lot more in common with Tonya than I even fucking realize. So that's a true statement. So she was born November 12th, 1970, like I said, in Portland, Oregon. And she grew up in two different counties because her mother, Lavana Golden was her name. She moved around often. And so they lived in Multnomah and Clackamas counties. Now, Tonya was raised primarily by her mother, and Tonya started skating actually at the age of 3. And it's her mom that actually enrolled her into skating, and she put her in lessons at the local mall. It was called the Lloyd Center Mall. The reason for this is because she didn't have the money to put her in a really fancy ice skating school or any kind of ice skating training because they didn't have a lot of money, a low income family, to say the least. And she was obviously a single mother, raising Tonya kind of by herself for the most part. When she was 4 years old, her mother took her to meet Diane Rawlinson, who became her trainer for many years to come. That was where she continued training as she grew up, was at the local Clackamas Town Center Mall. I feel like I'm not pronouncing that right, but that's
all right. These are hard. It's not easy.
They are. This part kind of gave me a little bit of JonBenet vibes a little bit, because she spent a lot of her childhood not being a child, but really just ice skating and training. And her mom was like really determined to have Tanya training constantly all the time. And she would sew Tanya's outfits. And so at an early age, like Tanya really felt self-conscious already at an early age because she didn't look like the other kids that were ice skating who had the best skates and the nicest costumes. And she didn't have that when she was little because her mom was doing it by herself. She did have a pretty troubled childhood, and she was often subjected to physical and psychological abuse from her mother. During her early teens, Tanya actually started spending time with her family, or with her father, sorry, known as Albert Gordon Harding. And there she learned a lot of like various trades that were like, you know, things that your dad would teach you. She learned a lot about automobiles. In fact, she actually considered herself a well-rounded mechanic. She started hunting, and she also participated in several drag races throughout her teenage years.
I love going to the drag races with my dad.
Oh my God, they were so fun. Cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
And when you're that age too, you love, like, sadly my dad wasn't around, but I did have some male figures in my life. And like, when you're that age, like you look up to the father figure, like, because they do all it's the cool awesome things. Time. Like they do the cool things, you know?
And he was reportedly not necessarily abusive like her mom was.
Right. He was nicer.
Yeah, like pretty much.
He was nicer to her.
You know?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. He was nicer to her for sure. Definitely. Now, she was enrolled at Milwaukee High School, and she actually ended up dropping out so that she could just focus solely on ice skating. Now, her mom was an influence of this, but I will not say that Tanya was not passionate about the sport, because she did love it, and it is what she decided she wanted to do. Was it very much forced and drilled into her from a very early age? Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think that you can put your kids in a lot of sports and activities and also not traumatize them at the same time.
Like, definitely. Definitely.
So like she knew that that was their ticket out of there, and they
right
that from the beginning.
I feel like her mom had premeditated and fucking intentions with this shit.
Absolutely. And if you ask like, her mom is like, I made her a winner. I don't know what I don't know what this abuse thing you're talking about.
She's like,
I turned her into a competitor.
Exactly. She's like, I did this. It was me. Yeah. She's the product. She's the project of me. Exactly. Like,
yikes.
Now, by this time, this is when she starts competing. And again, she's this in these teenage years is when she's starting to kind of come into her own a little bit, and she's competing, and she's competing really well, really well. And she's starting to climb in rank. And by 1986, she had finished sixth at the U.S. Nationals and was already becoming a rising star in the figure skating world.
So it sounds like Nancy probably had like the exact same childhood, right? Like
Totally the same. Hard knock life. No, polar opposites. Nancy Ann Kerrigan. She was born October 13th, 1969 in Stoneham, Massachusetts. Parents together, Dan and Brenda, traditional nuclear family. She has two older brothers, Mark and Michael. Everyone gets along. Everyone's having a grand old time. Her dad was a welder at the local food plant. Her mom was a stay-at-home mom. Very normal, quote unquote, traditional, uneventful family life. However, though, when Nancy was 1 year old, her mom got this rare illness that left her almost completely blind.
Oh, wow.
All of a sudden, her mom just like loses her sight.
That's scary. Jeez. Yeah.
So, you know, her dad, who is having a full-time job, is also helping run the house to like help out with the mother, who has this 1 year old plus two older kids.
Right.
But then as Nancy grows up a little bit, she's 6 years old, she starts skating as well. And she starts at first just doing regular group lessons at the local skating rink. The teacher there like notices really quickly that she has some real talent. Like she's doing really well, especially for 6 years old. So she suggests to Nancy's parents that they consider private lessons, which we've already said are extremely freaking expensive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So like, even though they have, you know, they're doing okay, they're only working on one income. So the father has to get a second job as a maintenance man. He works the evening. So he's doing the full-time 9 to 5, a second job, helping out with the kids in the household. There's 3 children and now private.
All just pretty much for Nancy.
Yeah. Really, honestly, during her young career, her parents would take out like a few subs, very supportive to keep her career going.
They
as well.
Threw it all in.
They
for
did.
Her. They really did.
Nancy says, has said throughout that her parents never pressured her to ice skate. Like, she just loved to do it and they supported her through and through. But another thing that Nancy had that Tanya did not seem to have was an extended family. Their extended family lived close by and they also would like help to get Nancy to and from lessons, from the rink to competitions, etc. So like they had an actual support system.
Right. They crowdsourced that shit. Tanya could not do that. They didn't have any help.
Comparatively, apples and oranges. So Nancy takes private lessons. Her first private coach was Teresa Martin, who she would have as her coach from age 8 to 16. And like during this time, literally like a day in her life is she's waking up at 4 a.m. every day. Her mom would wake her up at 4 a.m. every day so they could have breakfast together, which is cute. But in time, so she could have her breakfast, get ready, and then Nancy's dad would drive her at 5 a.m. to her lessons, her ice skating lessons. And then the dad would normally stay and drive the Zamboni to prepare the ice, also kind of take off the cost of lessons themselves.
It's like Nancy's parents did it for her because they loved her and wanted her to be happy. Tanya's mom did it for her fucking self.
Exactly.
For herself.
1,000,000%.
It's like bordering on child labor.
It is. And I hate to say it, and I don't want to completely wholeheartedly bash on Tanya's mom.
No, we can. It's fine.
She's a tough one, but it's tough. You see just in their interests of their childhoods, totally different intentions from the parents.
Exactly. So Nancy, she's really, really into skating. Obviously she was kind of drawn more into like the athletic skating performances like the male skaters did versus like the other gracefulness, whatever, but she definitely had that. So her instructors obviously taught her like, you need to play the part, skate like a lady, because she's over there skating with her brothers who both played hockey. So she's like, learning the strength and the stamina, but they want her to play the part. She had to really focus on her gracefulness, whatever. But it ended up being fine because she was really good at it, but it's stupid and I'm just pissed off about it. So she enters her first competition at age 8. She's constantly training. And unfortunately, due to this, she's missing out on a lot of social activities as a young child. Like, she really isn't able to make close friendships. She's just spending all her time on the ice. And Tanya the same, really. Making friends at school. They're not going to birthday parties and dances and whatever. Like, they're just living and breathing ice skating.
It gives me total JonBenet. She could do was the pageants.
You think about kids who are super into sports when they're young and they're on a team or something and there are 10, 15 other people that you're constantly like around with and training with and whatever, but figure skating is so solitary,
so lonely,
and they're just like, they don't have to. It's not to say that obviously the Olympic team didn't work out together and like do things together, but
they
at this point
each other, but
they're just hours in the gym alone, on the ice alone,
with adults.
Totally.
With adults.
But Nancy, she loves skating. It's working out for her. She lands her first triple. We're going to talk a lot about these things that I don't know. Basically, it's 2 consecutive triple toe loops. I don't know. It's a big deal.
Huge deal.
She's only 14 years old and she's doing this thing and she's like really doing it great. She does it in the competition. She's doing really well and she's really doing things that other women, girl skaters are not doing at the time. Like, she's standing out. And around this time at 16, she changes coaches. She briefly hires Denise Morrissey, and then at 16 begins working with Evie and Mary Scottbold, who would remain her coaches during her rest of her competitive career. She's also going to school and she literally graduates at the same time somehow. I don't know how.
It's wild.
There's only 24 hours in a day. I don't
know. Yeah. And Tanya didn't do that. Tanya didn't do that either. She did go back and get a GED, but she never went to college or did anything like that.
No. Yeah. So Nancy graduated from Stoneham High School. She then enrolls at a local college, Emmanuel College. And then she gets her associate's degree. So she's really
doing it.
And then in 1985, she finishes 2nd in the Eastern Junior Regionals. Like, so she's succeeding at everything she does.
It gets a little bit more interesting in the late 80s for both Nancy and Tanya. they start, even though Nancy's in Massachusetts and Tanya is all the way out in Oregon, this is where they start crossing paths. So 1987, both Nancy and Tanya compete in the U.S. Figure Skating Championships. Now, these we're going to talk a lot about. There's a lot of these that come up, and there's a lot of these that these girls at this point participate in. And the U.S. Figure Skating Championships are basically the Olympic trials. If you win or place at these things, you're pretty much going to the Olympics. You should view it as basically trying out for the Olympic team.
It's serious.
It's really serious. Yeah. And so both of them were there in 1987. Nancy took fourth and Tanya took fifth. This was a really big deal for Nancy in particular, because like Katie said, 1986, Tanya placed fifth, I think you said, in 1986. So she had done this.
She placed sixth. Yeah.
So she had been out there trying this for the previous year. At this point, this is the first time Nancy goes to U.S. Figure Skating Championships and takes fourth, which is really impressive.
Really good. It is. Oh, yeah.
Really impressive. Oh, yeah. And if you ask Tanya, this is when her and Nancy start becoming really good friends, hanging out together, enjoying mm-hmm. each other's company, being silly, making prank phone calls, maybe drinking a beer or two. Tanya says everybody thought Nancy was this image that she portrayed, but she was not like that. We were very similar. We got along really well. I would love to contrast that with what Nancy says, but Nancy doesn't say shit about this anymore. Nope. So she really never has. Mm-mm. She's really
doesn't want to talk about it.
So we don't know, but that's Tanya's story. 1987, this is when they start becoming friends. Then we have 1988. We go back to the U.S. Figure Skating Championships, and this time Nancy takes 12th and Tanya takes fifth again. So she held her position 2 years. So this is a big drop for Nancy. She's criticized at this time for compulsory figures. Again, another skating term. So these are, and I didn't even know that this is the thing, because they don't judge on them anymore. They are perfect circles in the ice. So they look at the pattern that your skate left on the ice and they judge how perfect the circle that you made is.
Why do they change? Why don't they do it anymore?
They eliminated it in 1990. Huh. But yeah, that was like a thing.
It just tells you how much of a fucking stickler they are about every tiny minute detail.
Yeah, yes, they're fucking like a bunch of nutcases.
It really is. Like, it's very similar to gymnastics in that way.
It is, yeah. Like, it just reminds me of like
one step and you didn't do it.
Yeah.
Yes.
It just reminds me of like a bunch of grandmas and grandpas, like on a judge panel, like cranky grandparents.
It is.
It is, Quinny.
Like, literally.
Old white grannies. Like,
just being like,
old white granny Karen.
Like, how much in the last week getting ready for this episode have I been listening to, like,
and now Nancy Kerrigan is entering onto the ice and she's really looking like she's gonna do a beautiful job.
You're just like, who are these people? It sounds so boring. You're like, this is beautiful to watch, but I do not need your lips right now. I don't need this.
Or their commentary when Tanya's lace is bad. Did you see that one?
Yes.
And their commentary on Tanya.
We've never seen anything like this in this has never happened.
They are Tanya already making history in the worst way. You're like, oh my God. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Great.
Even when she lands the triple, they're like, well, we're going to see if she's going to do it. Is she's going to do it or she's not going to do it. And
she did it. Oh, good for her.
And she did it.
Yeah.
Okay. Great.
Okay.
Cool.
Love the enthusiasm.
Oh, God.
Anyway. So anyway, they get rid of that in 1990. So that really helped Nancy, to be honest, because she never did well in that category. And once they eliminated that, they could score her on things that actually matter, like a beautiful skate. You know, so 1989, now this time Tanya takes third, Nancy takes fifth. And apparently at the time people were like pissed about this because Tanya Harding, just like Katie said, not only did she not have the upbringing that a lot of the other skaters had, but she didn't look the part. So she had very frizzy, big, big blonde hair, bleach blonde hair with the roots coming in. And she had a very loud nail polish and the whole thing.
People she chose risque music.
Risque music.
She wore, she would always, her costumes would always be right on the verge of breaking the rules. Mm-hmm. Sometimes she would have slits in her skirts that were way too high, and they were supposed to, and they would be like just 1 inch enough for her to not be disqualified. And
she took a lot of risks with that.
And she felt like she always, and she had a really bad mouth. And she always chewed gum and she smoked cigarettes. So she was just like everything that was not the world of ice skating at all.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But especially by the grandma and grandpapa standards. Like,
grandpapa.
You know,
grandpapa.
Like, I don't think they were too crazy fond of her. But then she's going to start doing shit that they ain't going to have a choice.
Yeah. Yeah. So she starts to be undeniable. And by taking third, you're not guaranteed a spot on the Olympic team.
It's close.
It's close. And America, all of America is going, these are our rising stars, you know. And I believe it was Christy Yamaguchi took first, and then it's escaping me. I can't remember who took second, but then there's little Tanya Harding, who mm-hmm. does not look like at all like the other two little girls on the podium. And it's just, but she earned it. She earned it, you know, throughout this whole story. Just remember, the girl put the work in. She's the one on the ice. She despite what she goes on to do or the people that she associates with, she worked her ass off out there. You cannot take that away from her. So 1989, she takes third. Nancy took fifth. So after this, Tanya gets into a little bit of a tiff with Diane, her coach, and challenges her, as she had many times. And apparently there's a whole history of like Tanya's mom giving Diane the business, Diane not getting along with Tanya's mom. And this whole time, Diane's like, Tanya, you have to play the part. You got to tone it down. You got to do this and this. Mm-hmm. Tanya just doesn't listen to her. You know, she's like, I'm going to do it my own fucking way. So she does. She changes coaches. She drops Diane, which is really shocking. At this point, because she's gotten her to be third at the U.S. Figure Skating Championships.
She's been with her her whole life.
But anyway, dramatically, she drops her and she starts working with a coach named Dodie Teachman. And with Dodie, she goes on to win Skate America that year. And I think that year is the one where it's Christy Yamaguchi, Nancy Kerrigan, and Tanya on the mm-hmm. podium. Again, the picture just doesn't look the way that these crusty old people want it to look. Mm-hmm. You know, like you have these really like beautiful, elegant skaters in Nancy and Christy. And then you have Tanya, who is just rough around the edges. And they're already looking for reasons to not like her, you know, even though she's winning, she's doing really well. And people thought she could go on to win the figure skating championships in 1990, but she got the flu prior to competition, which also exacerbated her asthma, right? She smokes cigarettes and has asthma.
Yeah.
And so
it's literally me. It is literally me.
You're just like, it's such an aerobic sport, you know? It so is. Like, of course, her skating is going to suffer because of this.
Yeah. Right. 100. Totally.
So by 1990, the balance shifts again and Tanya takes seventh and Nancy takes fourth.
Yeah. She's like going up and down and up and down and up. And it's like,
she could never keep keep the momentum.
No. And it's going. Like, and it's always something with her too, you know?
But also, she dropped to 12th like Nancy did.
No, she never went that far.
Really.
No. So Tanya's like really big breakthrough came in year 91 and she won the U.S. championship quite convincingly after she landed her very first ever triple axel. And in the world, yes. And in the world championships, which was held in the same year, she once again landed a triple axel, becoming the first American woman and only the second woman in the history of figure skating to do so.
This is crazy. This is no joke.
It isn't. Yeah. And get this. She went on to master the triple axel jump as she achieved various feats by executing the jump on three different occasions during the 1991 Skate America. After becoming the first woman to land a triple axel in a short program, she also became the first woman to land two successful triple axels during the course of a single competition. She then became the first woman to land a triple axel with a double toe loop. So a trip, not a double axel, a triple. So three turns in one jump. And wow, this is when they started to talk, really started to talk about, just like Quinny said, that actually, aside from the asthma and the cigarette smoking, that her athleticism was really outstanding. It was like outstanding, because these women, these other women could do these jumps, but at this time, none of them were jumping as high in the air as Tanya was. She was getting the most air of anybody.
And she was so fearless. She just did it. Like, I think a lot of people were scared to even try something like that in 100% front of a crowd at a competition like that. And she just did it.
She wasn't scared of shit.
It was like she was like a one-hit wonder that year, because then things started to really go back down again. She had this really high year and it was wonderful. And then she would go to these competitions and she couldn't do the triple axel. Like, she just stopped being able to land it. Or what would happen is she would land it in practice and then she would go to do the routine and she would go to do the competition and she could never land it. And she was falling and she hurt her ankle during a practice. It was always up or down from her. It was either really high or really, really down low for her.
And it makes you wonder, you know, little breadcrumb for next episode. What's going on outside the skating?
Right.
When Tanya's doing really well. Mm-hmm. When she, like, what type of, how's that being received at home in her relationships? Mm-hmm. How are people taking in that she is the first woman to do all of these incredible things? Like, what's she getting for that? Is she getting positive validation for that? Or is she getting her ass kicked? Say what you want about Tanya Harding, though, that 1991 year has never been replicated. Mm-mm. In history. Like, no one's ever, especially at that age. Like, she just did it. So
it's wild. Awesome to claim that title too, to be able to claim that title.
Yeah, forever. That's always going to be hers. And it is funny to see her talk about it now and how she's just like, yeah, I did that.
I also just feel like, obviously, her mom was just such an integral part of her life, and she kind of was never able to really get away from that, really. And so it really affected these. I think that her mom had a lot to do with these rough performances and these like mental breakdowns that Tanya starts having in the middle of the fucking rink five times, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, I can't help but feel Nancy was able to go farther with her career because she had more healthy, stable relationship with her parents, man. Totally.
Well, Carly is going to get into Nancy's, what's going on with Nancy 1991 to 1993-ish.
All right. Well, so she's not doing too shabby, Quinny.
She ain't doing bad.
No, she's holding
it. Nancy was holding it. Yeah.
She's rising. So she would go to the U.S. Championships in 1990, 91, 92, and she would end up finishing fourth, third, second. Like, so she's getting there.
Going up every time, higher in rank every time.
Exactly. 92, she earned second place, obviously losing to the one and only Chris Yamaguchi, third place Tanya. Okay. So, I mean, just like the trifecta of just, ugh. So good. And then the 1992 Winter Olympics are held. And I didn't know before this that's when they split the Olympics.
Yes.
So just winter and summer. I didn't realize that it was that quote unquote recently. It feels like it was like 20 years ago, but it was longer than that.
Yeah. It was.
Yeah. So I thought it was like, yeah, I didn't realize. So 1992 Olympics are held in Albertville, France. Honestly, like, Nancy wasn't a big deal. They were really caring about Chris Yamaguchi and Japan's showrunner, Midori Ito, but Nancy goes, and she brings it. Like, she's doing good. She's right on Chris Yamaguchi's tail, honestly. She's right there. But both Chris Yamaguchi and Nancy don't do perfect programs. Like, they make mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
And granted, they're at the Olympics. The pressure is on.
Intense.
Obviously, it's very intense. You just think that they're infallible. So you can't even, like, in my mind, I couldn't imagine that they would even have a mistake. You know, but they go on. Chrissy wins gold. Ito wins second. And Nancy Kerrigan gets the bronze medal, which, again, she may not have been
amazing.
Like, she may not have been like totally over the moon. She wanted silver or gold, but it's the bronze medal in the freaking Olympics, dude.
It's not right. It's not gold. It's not gold, you know, which is ultimately what they're all after.
Of course.
But it's something to be very proud of.
After this, Chrissy Yamaguchi announces that she's turning pro. So Nancy then becomes the top ranked skater in the United States. She is the number one skater. And she proves this by winning the US Championships in 1993.
Yeah, okay? Boom.
She wins. She's number one. She is named by People Magazine as one of the 50 most beautiful celebrities.
Like, she is gorgeous.
Like she is
beautiful. She is.
But like, and look at the compare. Like, look at the.
And she was presentable.
Yes.
And know? She was presentable. Exactly. And her costumes were always appropriate. And she never broke the rules. Epitome. Of the skate world.
Exactly.
Totally. Yeah.
And the media took that and ran with it. The 93, she also goes to the World Championships in Prague. They're thinking Nancy's going to win. She's in first place at the short program, but then in the long program, she doesn't do so hot. She misses her first jump. She loses her concentration. She's going to try to do two triple jumps and they just become a single.
Yeah. So just
absolutely clutching your pearls. You might as well just call it a day. At that point,
walk off the ice.
Yeah, at this point,
mm-hmm.
She finishes ninth in the long program and fifth overall. And for
still
Nancy,
not bad though.
No, it's
but,
not. It's not.
But for Nancy them, it is. And for them, it is
devastated.
Yeah,
sure. Sobbing after the competition, she is absolutely heartbroken. Mind you, she's still doing great in general. She's still a well-renowned, huge celebrity figure skater, and she's still very young, and that's 1993 for her.
I mean, it's so funny, before we did this series I thought Nancy Kerrigan was like 6 feet tall because of how like long her body is.
Yes.
In her skating.
Yeah.
I was like, Tanya is probably super short and Nancy Kerrigan is way taller, and they're only like 3 inches apart.
I know, it doesn't seem that way at all.
At all. I thought Nancy Kerrigan was like Cindy Crawford.
Absolutely.
Level.
Yeah, totally. Because she does have really long legs too.
She does.
Like, her legs
but
are
again,
long.
Is that not the media and portrayal?
Fucking with my head.
Exactly.
It is.
Yes. Like, look what they've done to us.
Yes. It is. Right. Yes. It totally is so true.
Oh my God. So just like Carly's saying, Nancy's getting attention from People Magazine, Tanya, not so much. So they're all chasing after this gold medal, right? Obviously, because once you win a gold medal in the Olympics, you are set for life. You can do appearances forever. You can do skate tours and show up and do one routine and leave and bring in the crowds, and you get a lot of corporate partnerships. So as young skaters, everybody wants to have some sort of corporate sponsor, because that is going to help offset the cost of training, your outfits. Like we said, figure skating so expensive. So Nancy gets a few of those. How does Tanya do in that department, Quinny?
Yeah, it's pretty sad. It's really, really sad. Kerrigan by this point has won a silver medal. Like, she's a silver medalist. So to sports marketers and really big corporate, they see her and they want to use her for their commercials because she's one of the most famous athletes in the world.
Fits the fucking part.
Mm-hmm. And she does. And exactly. And she fits the module and the picture. She has the face for it. And so exactly. So Kerrigan, by this point, by the early 90s, she had people behind her, including Disney, Reebok, Campbell's freaking chicken noodle soup. Okay. To make it even more insane, she even had a deal with freaking milk, with the milk commercials.
Got
and she
milk,
was on
yes.
the damn
yes,
she
yes.
had the damn milk mustache and did a milk it does a body good. Okay, under her belt, she had all of those under her belt already, and she was expected to line up annual endorsements exceeding $10 million by the early 90s. Okay, that's in this day and age has to be 15 million. It has to be way more than that.
9.5 million then is 19.2 million now.
Wow. So crazy, right? This is rough for Tanya, because Tanya sees this and she sees Nancy getting all these sponsorships and all these things. And she knows that she's going to have to
step it up.
Harding is getting none of these. And she saw a way out. And so she figured, you know, if she's going to get endorsements and money, like, she has to win the gold. And in order for her to win the gold medal, she would have to win it at Lillehammer Olympics. And for her to do that, it meant that Kerrigan needed to be out of the picture, because at this point, Kerrigan is a threat to her. Don't think that this was for lack of trying, because Nancy did try, Tanya did try to get some, she tried to get sign on with some companies, but they didn't want her. Harding's representatives contacted a company known as No Excuses Jeans, had built its image by using provocative women in its ads, including Donna Rice and Marla Maples, two very famous women at the time. However, the company said, quote, "At this point, we have no plans to use her," parentheses, Tanya. End quote. They said, quote, "We want somebody a little more universally liked."
Okay.
And then
you're telling me Nancy has gotten fucking milk.
Literally. And this girl can't even get a clothing company.
Literally pure white fucking whole ass milk. And Tanya can't get a no-name jean.
A no-name, not even that big of a deal jean company. Yeah.
Right.
Like, in fact, I think Express was probably a bigger company in the 90s than this fucking company. Okay.
Yeah, definitely.
And they wouldn't even take her.
And she is good. She is a good skater.
What sucks too is that, like, right now, we would have all of America behind Tanya Harding.
Right.
Right.
Because they would be like, she's not conventional.
Right.
So I'm interested in her.
Social media would eat her up and they would love her.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
100%. And also, Tanya Harding did get paid $25,000 from Nike to help her with her Olympic related finances. However, Nike officials said in a Los Angeles Times article that she will have no endorsement career with the company because, quote, "It is just not in the cards for her," end quote.
And honestly, that's, you know, that didn't even scratch the surface of the amount that she,
of the amount. And they tried and her mom really pushed for this too. Like, her mom tried to get her in companies and, you know, tried to be like the momager, and she just struggled at it really badly.
Momager.
Yeah.
Momager.
You know? She's no Kris Kardashian Jenner. Okay.
No,
she's
ain't.
No.
Oh
my God.
No, she
no
ain't.
Kris. Okay.
Not even
Ivana
a little bit.
Is not it.
The momager. I love that. Quinny's. We've arrived.
Here it is.
Carly is going to take us through 1994.
Well, hold on 1 second. This is the last thing I wanted to say. Nancy Kerrigan was the only American in Olympic history to cash in so much on the silver medal, said Andrew Wolf, who was the chairman of the Beverly Hills-based sports marketing firm for world-class sports. In her case, silver truly just happened to be virtually as good as gold.
What is that?
That's crazy.
Tell you, dude?
She what made out.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
She just really made out.
And again, the athleticism is there.
Yeah, right. She's totally talented. It's just...
Oh.
And you're so right. If it was today, it would be the opposite. It would be Tanya that would be getting all of them.
Well,
so yeah, now it's time.
Now we've arrived.
It's God.
January 6th, 1994.
What is up with that date?
I don't know.
We got to do
it again. It should be a national, like...
It's a bad... It's a
We're
bad
just going to skip it. Let's go from the 5th to the 7th.
Every year, a leap year, and it's over. They're at the U.S. Figure Skating Championships in Detroit, Michigan. Okay, this is 2 days prior to the competition. Nancy, she's going to her practice. She's walking through a corridor at the Cobo Arena immediately after practicing at 2:30 p.m. Mind you know she's been there for hours and hours and hours. This isn't like, oh, I was there for an hour for my practice. She's been there since the crack of fucking dawn. She walks behind a blue curtain that separates the ring from the hallway that's leading to the locker room, okay, as she normally would go. While she's there, she stops briefly to talk to a reporter. A random ass man, grown man, runs by, crouches down, repeatedly hits Nancy Kerrigan on her right thigh, just above her knee, with some people say it's a police baton, like a retractable police baton.
Mm-hmm.
Others say it's a lead pipe. Either way, this man is bludgeoning her knee, her leg, repeatedly, and then just jets off and runs out. She's straight up attacked out of nowhere by an unknown male in the hallway.
All they knew was he was a tall man in a dark jacket. Yeah. Big man.
That she is wearing a white skating costume at this event. Like,
I was just like watching this footage. Like, how the hell do they have cameras on her so quick when this happens? But they were shooting, I guess, the practice, right? For the news and whatever.
For the news and media. For media sources.
And then they hear screaming and run up with a camera. And you're just like, could you help her? Like, do you think maybe could you help could, her? Like, go get help or
could
like
you have cameras in the crazy ass hallway to the women's locker room?
possibly. It's just crazy to think that there wasn't like
security.
Security.
Right.
At yeah. the very least.
I don't know.
I know it's
the it was a different time. Like, it was a different. Yeah, it was a different time, man.
With it though. Okay, she's on the floor in pain, screaming and crying.
It's awful. It's awful. One of the most
you hear it,
worst
you can see it. It's awful.
Video footages I've ever watched. It is so sad and terrible.
You can just tell.
It's heartbreaking.
She's obviously in pain.
Yes.
But you can tell the devastation is worse.
And she just keeps going, why me?
Why?
Why me?
Why? Okay.
Why me? Yeah.
Her voice is breaking. Like she cannot hold it together. And yes, she's in a lot of pain, but that she's really just her heart is broken because she knows that this means very bad things for her at this at this point.
For the competition. Yeah.
So the attendants are helping her. She's grabbing at her knee. She's crying. Her father carries her away. She gets taken to the hospital. There are no broken bones, which is very lucky, actually. But she's really got a lot of damage to her kneecap and her quadriceps tendon. It's severe enough that she has to withdraw from the U.S. championships. I also couldn't get a confirmation whether she withdrew herself knowing or if they withdrew her themselves. You know what I mean? If
yeah.
the championship
yeah.
was like, you can't. Or if the doctor was like, she can't do it.
You can't. Right.
You know what I mean?
I think her coaches made the call.
Guess who wins that championship?
Not Tanya.
Not good old Tanya. She's like, oh, did something happen? Well, I'm going to go out real quick. I'm just going to go real quick, show you my triple axles really quick. And then I'm going to just, you know, show you what I got. Wins. Michelle Kwan came in second.
Yeah, she takes it. She takes the, takes it.
But like, there is a random ass dude who has just come out of the woodwork and attacked a famous, at this point, famous young female ice skater.
Oh yeah. So it's a media frenzy. It's a media frenzy at this point.
They're going insane. The Olympics are coming up. They're right on the tail of the Olympics. Mm. And even though she had to withdraw from the championship, her fellow skaters agreed that she merited one of the two spots on the U.S. Olympic team. And that really tells you a lot about the level of talent that she had and her as a person and a competitor.
Yes.
Like they could have easily been like,
and they were going to, yeah, they were going to put Kwan in her place. Kwan was going to be the replacement.
She placed it. She was, exactly.
She
was,
she did. Two. She qualified. Yeah. She qualified. So they were going to put her, but then she was like, no, I'll step back for Nancy.
At this point, Nancy is 25. Do you know this is her last Olympics?
Right. Like it's the end of their career. It's her coming to the end of her career.
You know, and for someone like Michelle Kwan, she had plenty of time left.
Yeah.
To do this again. She would go to another Olympics. So she, you know, very graceful to just be like,
totally.
It just tells you what kind of person she was and skater she was, but also you know damn well if the roles were reversed, they would not have done that for Tanya.
No.
You know that.
Nope.
But they
No, but I don't think that she was this kind of a person. She wasn't a kind person. And really, a lot of it wasn't even her fault either because she was never taught how to be a kind fucking person, quite frankly.
I totally agree, Quinnies. Tanya Harding is definitely guilty of being not a fun person to be around.
Nancy, obviously, she's completely devastated, brokenhearted over this. However, she knows she's going to the Olympics, so she has to like get back on the horse.
Get it together now. Right.
So she's luckily able to very quickly recover from that attack and her injuries. She then resumes her crazy intense training schedule because she only has 6 weeks from the attack to the Olympics.
Which is not very, that's going to go by like real quick.
Real quick. And granted, you don't think it's not that big a deal. She doesn't have any broken bones. She's not just trying to be able to walk and just hang out again. She needs to be able to be on that leg solely because the right leg is like the most important one.
Right, her landing leg.
Her landing leg, exactly. She needs to be able to land on it, on a skate. And after you're jumping, the force that you're falling is way worse. Like it's not just like, oh, she needs to get her knee back so she can walk up the stairs a couple times. That's not.
No, it's, yeah.
It's insane. Like, I can't believe that she even was able to jump back that quick. It's crazy because I can barely get off the couch. So she's practicing. She's doing her complete. She's doing her whole program back to back double run throughs over and over and over and over until she's able to do it. No pressure. Completely backwards and forwards. And honestly, like this is kind of weird to say, but the attack almost kind of helps her because it makes her even more famous.
Yep.
It lends sympathy to her, and this leads to even more opportunities. So she then signs endorsement contracts for, at, like I said earlier, at for $9.5 million before the Olympics even began, which today is $19.2 million. Okay.
Yeah. She was making, she was bringing in the doja hard.
She was before, and now it's just raining.
So Nancy's been attacked. Nancy is going for it. She's trying to recover and do well enough so that she can go to the Olympics.
Tanya's smoking a cigarette in the fucking corner. Okay.
Throwing it out on the ice, you know. Fuck this. She,
oh God.
There was a lot of controversy about whether or not Tanya was going to go to the Olympics. What? What are you talking about? She won.
She won.
She won the figure skating championships. If that had happened to anybody else, it would have been a no-brainer. Yes, she's going, end of the thing. But for some reason, immediately after the attack on Nancy Kerrigan and Tanya Harding winning figure skating championships, people immediately started to talk. There's a lot of reasons for this. We're going to get into all of this next episode, but I watched a documentary on this from ESPN called The Price of Gold. Okay. And they interview Nancy's coaches, and the night of the attack. So the attack happens, and then they're walking back to their hotel that's like close by to the training facility. And they said it was snowing outside, and they were just kind of in a daze, you know, because like it was just a crazy day. Nothing like this had ever happened to them. And the husband, that's Evie, right?
Yeah.
Turned to his wife and said, Tanya Harding had something to do with this. Now, this is before anything. She won.
Yeah.
This is before any, this is the day of the attack. And
who said that?
Nancy's coach, mm-hmm. male coach. So it was husband and wife team. Yeah. It was the husband that said Tanya Harding had something to do with this. And the wife said, what? Like, what do you mean? How the hell do you know that? And he said, I just have a feeling. And it seems that kind of everybody had a feeling, and everybody just went with the feeling. Mm-hmm. And it kind of sounds like she was profiled weirdly in a way for it. Yeah, like honestly, she was one of these things is not like the other, mm-hmm. type reasoning where it's like
they weren't saying it's Michelle Kwan had anything to do with it.
No, like nobody, you know? Else Mm-mm. was saying.
No, it was the bad one. It was the mm-hmm. troublemaker and the outsider and the black sheep of mm-hmm. the ice skating world.
That's where we're going to leave it, Quinnies, until next week. Ooh. And then next week, ooh. We're going to get into the Olympics. We're going to
next
get
week's going to be juicy, man.
The whole cast of characters.
I cannot wait.
The whole, freaking cast of characters that come out of the woodwork.
Yeah, we also talked about doing this a while back, Quinnies.
Yeah,
we mentioned doing it a while back.
This would
back.
Be a lot of fun.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. This would be a lot
again,
of fun.
Nobody dies. It's amazing.
But it is still straight
it's
up
not
evil.
Great. It is.
It oh, it is.
There
still
is some straight up evil
straight up
floating
evil.
Around. But no one evil. Dies. Just someone's whole career.
And it's
dies.
So rare for us to do that. It's so rare for us to do one. So I love it because, God, we rarely get to do a survivor,
oh,
man.
Oh, my God. So true.
Listen to Straight Up Evil.